Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's a professional storyteller, Derek Coughlin. He is performing on Saturday, April 14th at the Boca Raton Library at 3:30 in the afternoon.
The year is 1983. I am 14 and bored out of my mind during night study at St. Finian's College, Mullingar, my boarding school. The room, the study hall, is massive, endless, cold, functional. Designed by men without imagination, almost Escher-like in its continuous Catholic conformity and exact spacing and endless, demented practicality. 250 boys between the ages of 12 and 18 sit, pungent and hormonal, facing north, studying in silence, or at least faking it, lest they incur the righteous wrath of the priest on duty, who cannot and will not condone idleness of any sort on his watch. After all, idle hands are the devil's work. In front of me sits Jerry Martin, head down, grinding the books. He will, like all his brothers, later become a doctor. Beside me is Rory Donnelly, sniffing white out and staring moon-faced and uncomprehending at Virgil's Aeneid. Behind me is Paddy Kinnearns, future nightclub owner, Celtic Tiger millionaire, recovering alcoholic, self-help motivational speaker. He slips me a book, careful not to let the priest, Father Moore, see. If he is caught, the book will be confiscated. We'll both get beaten, and then spend the remaining 2 hours of study hall on our knees in front of Father Moore's desk. Penance must be done when crimes are committed. The Lord demands. With the practiced stealth of a life sentence inmate receiving a package in the yard, I smuggle the book inside a history tome. I don't look up. I give no indication that I've gotten anything. I'll thank Kinnearns later. Then I look at the cover. The Stand by Stephen King. I open it and begin. Abscombe's Texaco sat on number 93 just north of Arnett, a pissant four-street burg about 110 miles from Houston. The cover is purple, the book enormous and falling asunder. The glue of the binding seems to melt as I read. Page by page it falls apart, and my world falls apart with it. The book undoes me. It melts my brain and then resets it slightly and deliciously and forever askew. I never heard the bell signaling the end of study hall that night, or the one calling us to church for night prayers. I was gone, lost, hooked, immersed in the book so completely I was married to it. I murdered that book, and then I picked up Salem's Lot, then The Shining, then Carrie, The Dead Zone, Christine, the delicious nightmare-inducing majesty of Night Shift, short stories so perfectly crafted that I wanted to know how he had done it. How had he written them? And what is that at the window? And was my closet door ajar when I got into bed? And I know there is nothing under my bed. I know this. My practical mind knows this. But yet, I will not dangle my leg out between the sheets. Just in case. That is what Stephen King did to me. Did for me. I walked for years with Roland on the paths to the Dark Tower. I saw vampires in trees on winter nights when I walked home alone. I read It Oh, that damn clown, Pennywise. During my senior year of high school, when I had the flu and a crazy spiking temperature, and I don't know if I will ever be that scared again. I read The Talisman in spurts while hitchhiking in college, and sometimes forgot to stick my thumb out, only noticing the light faded and I could no longer see the words on the page. I listened to The Green Mile on cassettes, a book on tape, mainlining caffeine and chain-smoking my way across I-10 and up I-95 from New Orleans to Beaufort, South Carolina on the best driving night of my life, June the 26th, 1996. Arriving at the Royal Frogmore Inn on St. Helena Island just before dawn and staying in the car to hear how it ended as the sun came up and life moved on. No NPR driveway moment will ever compare to that. I've lent his books to friends, taught his stories to middle school kids, connected with strangers in airplanes and in bars because of him. And yes, I know there are many in the literary world that disparage King, who say he's not a great stylist, that his characters are too often thinly drawn or obvious stereotypes. Fine. I drink beer, not wine. And what the critics often overlook is the fact that when it comes to story, to pure grab-you-by-the-throat story, King always delivers. And that is what matters to me. There was no Harry Potter when I was 14, no Hunger Games, nothing for that dreadful void, that chasm that sits between kids' books and the adult world. Narnia didn't cut it anymore, and when I was 14, I'd pretty much stopped reading, given up on it. Nothing fit, you see. There was no point. And then Stephen King came along, and he led me to James Herbert, who led me to Bram Stoker and Dracula, and from there I found my way to Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and from there I discovered her husband Percy Shelley and his poetry. I read Ozymandias, and that took me to Wordsworth and Keats, and then back through the centuries to Shakespeare, and by then, I was hooked. But no matter what I was reading, I always came back to King. I owed him, you see, and debts have to be paid. I am, as King himself would say, a constant reader, and have been since that night over 30 years ago when the stand found me at exactly the right time I needed to be found. October the 13th, 1983. A Friday. Fitting, I suppose.
Derek Coughlin with a story about developing a love for reading.
It is one of the most vivid stories that I've heard in quite a while. He just has so many wonderful turns of phrase.
Not only did he do a wonderful job of describing everything, but he credits Stephen King for introducing him to Shakespeare.
He tells us so much in such a little bit of time about how to grab a 14-year-old boy's imagination and turn him on the path of becoming, as he says, a constant reader.
Talk about passion. Boy, it turned his life around.
And the passion came through in his voice. And that is really the key to so much storytelling, is just how you tell the story, not the topic, not the violence. Is there a great love story? Although you could say this is a great love story, but just the way it's told. And he makes this simple, simple story come alive and sound like a Stephen King adventure story.
Well, I should say I admire Stephen King's skill in writing, but I am not a fan of horror, and I don't like to be scared. So it's funny how he enjoyed the fear of not even looking under his bed, and the imagination goes wild.
He sets it up beautifully. 14, bored. He compares the boarding school to prison. He talks about how badly they will be punished if the book is found. I mean, he sets the whole thing up. So this is contraband. And so contraband immediately is something desirable in that kind of a situation. And then the excitement just mounts because he knows that this is crossing a line. This is everything his education is not, and that's exciting.
He also makes the point that Stephen King is not high literature, and he compares it to beer as opposed to wine.
Wonderful comparison. And yet, as he's telling the story, you can tell that the storyteller style is extremely sophisticated. He uses terms like designed by men without imagination, righteous wrath, moon-faced, melts my brain and resets it. I was married to that book.
He murdered the book.
He is such a master at crafting sentences in a way that perhaps his idol, Stephen King, is not. He got more and more into this Stephen King style of it was a particular day. It was a Friday on this date in October 1983. We all remember the exact date and where we were when something in our lives happened. And with him, the fact that he remembers and says the date and the place and the exact circumstances, if nothing else, we know from that how much he cared. So he is going to be sharing personal stories like this, stories from his life, on Saturday, April 14th at the Boca Raton Public Library. That's 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue in Boca Raton. And they've got a website where you can register. It is a free performance. And I'm going to be there. I can't wait to hear him.
If our listeners would like to submit a story to the Public Storyteller, Karen, how can they get in touch with you?
Please send me an email, cneil, that's C-N as in Nancy, E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories, wlrn.org, click radio, and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.